We are getting closer and closer to the prophetic sacrifice of the red heifer. Watch to the end of this interview to find out when the ceremony will take place, how many viable cows still remain, who is going to perform this ceremony, and much more. Byron Stinson, it's great to have you back here on Charisma to give us an update on where we stand with the red heifers. You're the guy that God used to bring these red heifers, which are sacrificially sanctioned, I guess, or they're able to be used for this as a special ceremony. And God used you to bring them from some ranches in Texas to Jerusalem. So thanks for coming and giving us an update on where we stand today.
Yes, sir, John. And it's always nice to see you. Thank you so much for connecting back. And I'm really excited about 2025. I think we're going to see the Lord do some things in 2025 that the world has never, as it's been written that it's going to happen. And we're already seeing that in 2024 with what's happening in Syria and the power that God has given Israel as they work to establish himself and show the world that God's promise of returning his people and then standing over them and bringing a kingdom from that very place, the holy mountain of God, a kingdom that brings peace. If you look in Micah 4, what it foretells is that in the last days, people will come from all over the earth to go to God's holy mountain and see him. And then from there, we can see this Messiah ruling over the earth and bringing peace to the earth. And I think at this point, with all the wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and disease and everything else we see, and now starting probably some persecution of the church, I think we can all be hoping that God will do exactly what he said, which is to bring peace on that holy mountain. And so a big piece of that is to build a temple. We see that in Revelation, that John in the Spirit and Patmos saw that temple there. And we see it all through the Old Testament that there will be this temple built on the holy mountain of God. And so to be able to build the temple, it is required that we follow the laws of God. In Numbers 19, there's a law that says that you are to bring this red cow, and the red cow is an offering or a ceremony of purification. And what you do is you take the ashes of this cow and you mix it with the living water from the Gihon spring, and it brings purification physically away from death. You see, everyone's suffering under the death. Anything you can see, touch, see, smell, anything, it's death is everywhere physically. Now, we know the church spiritually is believing in a spiritual eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ, that atonement that happened through a physical act that Jesus did right there on the Temple Mountain, on that very mountain where everything happens. And so what we're hoping for and what we see in the Bible is God also now in these last days is going to start doing more and more physical things that we can see. I think that's a big part of when Jesus says to the woman at the well that in the last days, people will be able to worship him, the Father God, both in spirit and in truth. Hmm. I think the word truth means physical. Because obviously, if it's worship him in spirit and in truth, that's not like opposites. You know, it's not like the spirit's not truth. It is truth. But there's something more than just the spirit. And I believe that's probably what Jesus was pointing to, is there comes a time when there's this physical manifestation that we can see. And it brings, and that's part of the process of bringing eternal life, return to the Garden of Eden. That is our hope. Is we would be able to return to that Garden of Eden experience that God had from the very beginning wanted for man. And so this is all part of his plan.
Yeah. So with these red heifers that God used you to bring to Israel, how many of them did you bring from Texas to Israel? And how many of them are still viable for this sacrifice today?
So we were able to, you could only import up to 5 pets. They had to become pets to get them into the land. And so we imported 5. And what happened, we held them for a time close to an area that's close to Gilgal, the very entry place into the land for the children of Israel. Then we were able to move them to Shiloh, which is the second place where God moves the tabernacle tent from Gilgal to Shiloh. So they're following that same footprint, basically. They're now at Shiloh. There's all five of them are there. Two have grown some wider black hairs. And so they're no longer good for the ceremony, but they're excellent for breeding. So mm-hmm. we searched for the reddest of a bull that we could find and got his semen, imported it into Israel. And so we have two of the cows are now bred back to be able to hopefully have some more cows being born for the future generations. So there's two of them been bred back, and there's still three that are pure, could be used for the ceremony.
Yeah, another very important part of this ceremony is the priest that would have to do this. How yes. close are we to having somebody able to actually perform this ceremony?
It's getting closer all the time. You know, the ceremony hasn't been done in over 2,000 years. The priest has to be a very young priest. He has to be raised for this duty from the time he's born, basically, keeping him as pure as possible. And so there are about three or four possibilities of that. They've been young men raised in the line of the Kohen to do that. And we have one young man he is actually practicing and it's moving forward. Also, there's a lot of logistics around it that have to be done in preparation, a lot. And so all of those, it's taken this year for everything to be discussed and decided on and move forward, but it is moving forward.
Just out of curiosity, I know one of the things about the Kohen or the priest that would be doing this sacrifice, they cannot have been around death. And so if he is practicing this on, I guess, some sort of other animals or whatever he's doing to practice this, doesn't that bring death upon him as well? Or help me understand some of that.
Well, everybody's around death, but the part that keeps him pure is staying away from human death.
Okay.
It's the human bones, that's the bones really is the main thing that represents that death. And so it's staying away from human death. And so that's where he's been protected and wasn't born in a hospital. Is kept above, mainly in an upper room, so you'd be nine arm lengths away from possibility of being contaminated by human death. Don't go to the cemetery, those type of things.
Did his parents raise him with this intention in mind from the very beginning?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. So it's not just kind of finding somebody like a needle in a haystack. They have been really raising him for this. Wow.
Yes.
There's a lot of forethought and planning that goes into this. And you said there's a lot of logistics about actually moving the cows from Shiloh to the Mount of Olives, which is where this is going to have to happen at a particular place overlooking the Temple Mount. Tell me about this location, what you can.
So the location from Shiloh down to, it's actually not going to the Temple Mountain, but you're going to the Mount of Olives. But we won't go on to the Temple Mountain with the cow at all. And so the location on the Mount of Olives has to be very precise. It has to be east of the temple where you can view right to where the temple will be built. And it has to be at the height of the temple. You can't have it too high up on the Mount of Olives or too low. And so what happened many years ago, I think about 13 years ago now, the organization that I work with, starting many different projects in the land, was offered an opportunity to participate in securing that piece of land, that perfect piece of land. So we've had that for many years, and I believe that'll be the place. But there also has been some discussion of other places that might be available. So I'm not sure exactly where it'll be at this point, but the locations are available.
So what needs to happen next, or what is the next step in this process? Because we still have three cows that are available. We have a Kohen or a priest identified and has been practicing. It seems like it could really happen any day now. And we've made it through the fall feast. We're now coming up to Hanukkah, which is the Feast of Dedication, the Festival of Lights. And then we have the Spring Feast as well, which we have Passover and things. So there's sacrificial elements for all of these, or there's sacrificial opportunities for all of these things. Is this just going to happen on some random day, or is there a day that it's really appointed for this?
Well, It's got to remember, it's not so much a sacrifice as it is a ceremony. And it's the very first thing. When Moses was in the wilderness and God appointed this ceremony, before that, he had already explained the law and how to build the tabernacle tent, where everything stood and all the things prepared. But to begin the real process of using that temple or that tabernacle, it had to start with this red heifer ceremony. And I told you before, and I believe this with all my heart, that this red cow is a physical representation of Christ's spiritual work. And so to me, it's not planned by the rabbis, I don't believe. And they can do it. It doesn't have to be on a certain holiday, it's not prescribed in Numbers 19. It has to be at a certain time. But it seems like to me, as I've been in this hunt, we've gone through all of this, that it always turns out exactly precise, just like everything else is precise. It's amazing how God confirms who he is. Mm-hmm. So I, as a believer in Yeshua, and knowing that many of the rabbis that are doing this have not come to belief in Yeshua, they believe there's a Messiah coming, and they believe in him, but they haven't seen that as being Christ yet, or Yeshua, Jesus. So, but I personally feel like it will happen because at a perfect, perfect time, because it gives more glory to God. And for me, that perfect, perfect time would probably be around Passover. Hmm. That's not been announced, but it makes sense to me that those three feasts of Passover would be the time that this purifying water purification and all this would happen at that date. So I won't be surprised if God does it at that date, but that's just Byron. That's not planned by the rabbis.
Are you going to be given a heads up whenever this is going to happen?
I probably will be, but I won't be able to tell people that. So
it's understandable.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's not meant to be controversial or against anybody. It's just a ceremony that is being performed physically by the fathers of faith. They've been instructed by the law to do this. Their responsibility, and this was even the disciples of Jesus understood, their responsibility is to follow the law of God. They were actually exiled from the land for 2,000 years because they didn't follow the law. Now, for us as believers in the nations, the apostles had to sit and decide what we would be required. And they did not say, you will be required to follow all the laws. So if you're a believer in Yeshua and you don't celebrate and you don't honor each Saturday, you don't go and you don't set yourself aside and don't do any work and all those things every Saturday, you don't have to feel really bad about that, because the disciples did not require that of us. Okay, but it is required of the Jewish fathers of faith. This is what God said. I want you to keep this law for the world. It's your responsibility. So they have a higher responsibility to the law, and they take it personally. It's what they want to do. And the law is beautiful. It's wonderful. And it's the only thing that's going to really help us come back to the ways of God. And these fathers of faith are trying to follow that law. And so we should support them as they're doing that. And I think for myself, be happy that we didn't have all of those requirements placed on us by the apostles. We have a much easier task. So, you know, there's a commercial about these Hebrew hot dogs made to a higher standard. Mm-hmm. You know, well, there really is a higher standard following the law placed upon the fathers of faith, Jewish. And none of them were asked to become, leave their Judaism and become, and do less in following the law. It's their responsibility, and they're doing their best to do that.
You know, Byron, I'm always interested in these updates from you. So where we stand today is the heifers are still ready. We still have three out of the five that are viable for this sacrifice. We have the Kohen available and practicing for this. And once this ceremony does take place, then they're able to actually start building. They're actually able to start doing the next phase of this? I know we already have a lot of the temple implements, but I'm sure that those will be cleansed or blessed with this water, which is from the Gihon spring and mixed with the red heifer's ashes. And it's this purification. So there's a lot of things that we still need to be looking out for. I just really appreciate that you're able to give us updates whenever you can. So thank you very much for giving us that today.
You're welcome. God bless you, John.